podcast. KellerKellerOfficial.com.
You need the Kellervision app. 24/7 mini documentaries, podcasts, live shows, DJ live streams, top fives, subscription packages, plus products for all your podcasts and street culture sports. Download it from the App Store for free today.
Beatbox created.
KellerKeller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
KellerKeller Podcast.
Off the bat, I gotta say, big shout out for the non-Zoom background. You gone for the real.
Yeah, nah.
No games.
Like with the green screen and everything? Nah, not me.
Ladies and gentlemen, KellerKeller Podcast striking with a vengeance. With great vengeance. Wow. Big shout out to graffitikings.co.uk. Huge shout out to anybody that's checked out the Kellervision app right about now. We're going transatlantic to see one of the real ones out in New Jersey, East Coast. Oh my gosh, hold tight, Elder Sensei in the place. What are you saying, my brother?
Peace. Brick City, Jersey, Illtown, East Orange. Artifacts, what's good, y'all?
Yo, I am so happy to see you. I'm so chuffed.
Hey, man, I'm happy to be well and to be here with y'all myself.
What's the weather doing over there? It's looking pretty right where you are.
Right now it's a little gray, little rain. But we had a little taste of spring last week. But we back to the real numbers of the weather. But it's all right. It's getting warm.
Yeah, and I did off the bat say I gave you esteem credit for very similarly to myself. You know, it could be any time of the day, any sunshine, rain or fall. As long as we haven't got that weird Zoom background going on.
Right. They got the whole, I see you with Rocksteady Crew, everything, the jersey, all of that.
Come on,
you got
baby.
Got the piece in the background, tags, everything. So that's... You know, real life stuff you can touch.
It only gets realer than, don't get no realer than that, does it?
Right.
And when we say real, Artifacts, crew, and as solo artists in your own right, and for way longer than I think most people tend to realise. Bro, what I've been looking forward to on this particular chat is to chow down on some hip-hop shit.
Yes.
Graffiti, b-boying. The real, like, you embodied that on a day-to-day. And you know what I mean? It's like, you can't have many conversations with people like that, that have experienced all the four pillars of b-boy shit.
And it's like, you know, I tell my son and I tell a lot of younger cats, you know, as my age group grew up with hip-hop, it was from the beginning. So. It's a lot of people that just gravitated toward one part of it that they was good at, whether it be DJing, whether it be b-boying, MCing, DJing. It's just we learned to do all of it. So I started off as a b-boy first. Yeah. And then at the same time, got into graffiti. And with the father that I had was not pretty much letting me go outside to, you know, hit the walls and everything like that. So at my age, 12 or 13, I wasn't able to do that, but I was doing it, you know, in my neighborhood, in my room. He saw that, like, yo, you think you're gonna be out there writing on walls, you crazy. But I'm like, but that was what we did. And then when we got through, you gained that element, I went and gravitated toward the rhyming part. And as you're doing the rhyming part, you're around DJs, so you pick up DJing as well. So a lot of conversations with my age group, I can have like that, but because everything is immediate and fast and there's not too much to learn today, it's all instant, you know it, like the Matrix, when you dial in, you know, it's not like that today because everything is in front of you to be easy. And that's the learning thing with hip hop, where as far as being futuristic, when you're talking about learning the elements of hip hop, there's few that can say, they learned all and been able to use the tools at the same time and doing what they do.
Oh my God. Yeah, you literally just said it. Isn't it weird that when you think of back in the day when you thought the future of hip hop, it was definitely not what you'd expect now.
No, definitely not.
I think you're right. I think the attention span of not just, hey, I might just add as well, not just the youngers. We're talking about general here. For real, like, to have a conversation with anybody about stuff now, even the architects, they fall foul to what perceptively they have, well, they think young people want to hear. Mm. When the truth is, if you really just break down the honest truth and what makes the components of hip hop work and work so well, you know, you can't just fly through that shit. You know, you really break it down, don't you?
Like people would have to see it in a performance element, like performance of being, say, active. So like with Tame, I tell everybody in all interviews, even today, in our group, he is the graffiti in a whole as a person where you say the way he rhymed, he was a B-boy too, and he can DJ, and this guy's my partner. So that's how much we related to what we was doing. But he was gravitated to a graffiti level of where, like, I want people to understand that in Jersey, there are and have been few artists that have been able to use their graffiti name in the world as a performer. Yeah. So people know that he's active in doing both, where, you know, he's able to use it. So when you talk about all of the things that we spoke on in one song, as far as Wrong Side of the Tracks, yes, it was a graffiti song, a graffiti anthem, but we spoke about being a B-boy.
That's right.
And being a DJ, because even though the practice is not there today, we know that when they watch and put all these documentaries out, mm-hmm. and the cats that say didn't grow up in New York, to hear them say they didn't grow up with that element of, say, Flash and Cedric and Cedar and Herc and all of this, it was that's the power in what we was doing, to where everyone has their, even where you're from, everybody has a version of what we know elemental wise of what to do. And when you're putting it into play and people get to witness it, like today, those things don't exist to show. So when we do it, and even today still use those that formula, and when they see us on stage, and when cats see us do their autograph, and they see the tag form, they're like, oh, wow. I'm like, yes, we really do it. It's real.
Yeah, it's real.
Y'all. You know what I'm saying? And we still use these tools, because why not? That's where we came from.
It is habitual. Like, I don't even think I've ever signed my real signature as much as I've done my tag. Like, I don't think anyone... If you're really into that shit... You wouldn't have, you know, it just doesn't happen.
Right.
Like, it's your tag. It's not a signature. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That, you know, yeah.
That's your moniker. That's what you go about.
Yeah, exactly. When you talk about, because let's just also remind ourselves, like, in this fast approaching, what day is it today? We're going super fast on the super highway. Information is being spread, mm-hmm. and then the attention span of 7 seconds, and it's a new thing. It's crazy to think that hip hop back in the day made so much noise over on your side. They translated over a reasonably short period of time across the fucking world.
Mm-hmm.
No internet. This is the other thing. It was a phenomenon. Do you know what I mean?
It was a powerful thing. And that's what powerful things do. That's what music does. Like, even to this day, like you said, I had no idea I will be going to Europe to witness what I've seen in jazz artists happen with hip hop artists. So like a lot of people at home, even though it blew up here, try to understand how it is that we go to all these different countries that may not probably speak English, like say going to Japan. And they try to understand, like, yo, how is it that they know, bro? I'm like, listen, it's worse now because of the internet. But it's also good because of the internet, because it gave us a bridge to, because the only way we was doing all of this was to fly and get there. And
hours and hours.
And the way hip hop became to be in Europe a lot was, and I've seen it and I've been with these cats working with them, it'd be a guy in the town that does go back and forth to New York when it was a time where labels had promotional records and they'd give them out to DJs or whatever. So these cats would go to New York, go to all the stores, go to all the shops, get all the gears, ship it back home. They might have a store, you know, but that guy is the guy in the town that everybody knows is the guy that brings hip hop to the town.
That's it.
So these wind up being the people that we work with, being a promoter, with being agent. They are the ones. And so with the internet, that became these guys. And these guys got to use that in a way to advance, to bring us even more. So when you talk about the festivals, you talk about, you know, all these festivals have, even today, when you talk about Hip Hop Camp, things like that, Alpha Fame, they all have elements of the hip hop culture there, because they know that that's important too, because the most draw of the artists that come are from my group from the 90s, because that's where it became to be, and kind of like where it stops when you talk about artists that go back and forth. To even have the certain artists to come, they don't bring everybody. So yeah, they have the mainstream artists there, but the more people that come over to Europe to perform are cats of my caliber and such, because they know that's affiliated with what we're talking about right now. So, you know, it became, with the internet, became so much bigger because it was easier to get. You know, I look at it like basketball. You look at all the European basketball basketball players that come to over here. Look what we doing.
Yeah.
Everything is three-pointed. I love it, but it just shows you how we even had to adapt to this movement that was created through the internet, to learn it faster, learn it better, to be more involved in it. Because even if you're far away, you're able to get into it even way more now. You know what I'm saying? Look what we're doing.
Yeah,
you know, even the way we're talking.
Oh, I was just about to say, at this point as well,
that's the advancement.
That's the advancement. And this point right now, when we talk about Hip Hop Camp, big shout out to Afro, and also big shout out to Spice from the Brotherhood. Indeed. I know that's our peoples right there. Yeah, you, and just for anybody that might be a little bit unclued up, because, you know, we're getting into it deep pretty quick.
Right.
Artifacts, duo, New Jersey, from the 90s era, Wrong Side of the Tracks, of course, Rock and a Hard Place being the album, and I think what separates you guys from the rest of the pack, if you don't mind me saying.
No, yeah, be my guest.
Bro, I feel like because of your understanding and involvement in the four corners of hip-hop, the breakdancing, the MC and the DJ and the breakdancing, there's an authenticity there. And unlike the others that were of the time, you kind of carved a bit of a cult classic based on your understanding of the roots of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Not many did that, did they? I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know entirely where...
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's why you had so much applause when coming over. And more so than ever, because of that cult status, you'll probably be the first ones to be called when it comes to like, yo, we need some, you know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And I think that's, you know, we're making that song. We didn't realize at the time how many people was still like us. Because when you talk about the time frame when we did that song, nobody was talking about four elements of hip hop. Nobody was talking about graffiti at all. Like, it was just, you know, it was just happening. So, and KRS-One did a Hot 97 quick commercial review of the song. Like, numerous songs he would just, you know, review during the commercial. So he said that it's crazy that it took a group from New Jersey to make a song about graffiti that started in New York. And he, even when he gave us a shout out in MCs Act Like They Don't Know, you know what I'm saying? Like, people always ask us, when he, I reside like artifacts from the Wrong Side of the Tracks, electrified. I'm like, people are like, yo, y'all know him? I'm like, no, like, you know, we met him a few times, but it's like, you know, that's just in respect of him acknowledging the fact that, you know, we sparked something in him where he made an album, gave us a shout out, and then made Alpha Fame, you know, his own version of his ode to graffiti. So, you know, we know that even where we're from, in New Jersey, that we are considered the more hip hop group out of Jersey, officially, because of what we did. And we didn't realize how many people, like I said, was like us, to say, like, we're still into the craft like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, where it's like, you look at a brother like Cause, big time graffiti artist to the fucking max.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where he's, you know what I'm saying, blowed up to the extreme. But that just shows you, you know, he's Jersey City dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, it show you where it can go commercially when you stick to your guns and you make people cater to you as an artist rather than him catering to the masses or commercial masses, so to say. So yeah, with us, you know, we get called to do a lot of shows like Hip Hop Camp and, you know, a lot of shows like Alpha Fame and even in the one in Switzerland. Oh, man. Royal Arena, you know, because we come from a time and still today making records in a time where maybe, you know, what we're called to do is what it is, you know, and to have that remembrance of cats that was responsible for something that we didn't even know ourselves was going to happen like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you see the hardest dudes come up to you, I'm in LA, you got SA dudes coming up to you, and they like, yo, bro, we've been painting to your music. You understand how I'm like, because I'm looking at them like they're about to come up to me like, yo, I'm like, what's about to happen?
Oh, shit,
I'm in trouble. And their inner hip-hop kid come out and express themselves, how they feel, what the song meant to them. We had no idea, man.
Yeah, for sure. You didn't treat it like a flavor of the month, and that's the difference, like, with all due respect to the Fat Joes and Karis Ones, it's like they needed the likes of you to remind them about what, you know, and then all of a sudden it. But that must also have come with its own baggage because, like you say, you're in situations where you're like, damn, okay, I'm getting, I had no idea I was appealing to such a broad demographic. Mm-hmm. Graffiti is such a broad demographic. It's like, right. It isn't hip hop. I mean, I know that the general narrative is it was started in New York as Karis. Quite right. To balance the argument out, Bronx, New York made it what it became. But you know, then there'd be people from Philly like Cornbread. They started off here.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, though, it has such a broad appeal. It's bigger than hip hop.
Yeah. I mean, it's graffiti is everything.
Yeah.
Which everything you look at, everything you see advertisement wise. Yeah. I watch Justice League animation movies and I see damn good graffiti in these movies now. Video games, how they interface it with the game and get real graffiti artists to do the artwork and not look like some old crabby shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's when you know people are taking it more serious than in the past because, like they said, it was just, you know, is that artwork? Is it just scribble scrabble? Which to these days, they know it's more than artwork. This is a universal thing that you will see and it just attracts your eyes and mind.
Transferred itself across the, you know, it's so deep. There's like 40 or 50 years of kids turning into, you know, adults knowing what graffiti is. And it's such a given to see it, you know. And it must be really hard for people, authorities especially, to justify taking it down. Let alone their moral principles.
Especially today. Yeah. I had made a point one time on an interview. We was on a radio station with it was a police officer on there. And I said, it's funny how when it's time for presidential elections and city elections, when you have all these signs and stickers of vote for this guy, vote for that guy, that's not considered vandalism to you, but it's they sticking them everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But and it's to be what? To be seen, for you to, you know, it's almost in the same view of what we're doing. We want you to see our name, how colorful and bright. It's like you vote for this guy for mayor. Like, it's big as hell because they want us to see it. It's an advertisement. But for us, it's more than just that. It's to show people your fame of your artwork, and which they can't say is vandalism or not, because, you know, we're doing the same thing. It's just back in the day was on a train that they didn't understand why it had to be there. Why does it have to be on the train? Why is it moving through? Why do you want it like that? Because that's what was the thing to do. And that was the thing that was exciting and it was innovative. And it was just, you know, I say all things wasn't meant to stay the way they were. Graffiti was supposed to branch out. Hip hop was supposed to branch out the way it did. Because if it would have stayed in the Bronx, we wouldn't have not be having this conversation at all right now.
at all.
Nope.
There wouldn't be artifacts. There wouldn't be...
No. We wouldn't have been influenced to even make the... be the way we were growing up.
Certainly no Killer Keller, that's for sure. I mean, bro, to be fair, I'm like, creatively, of course, I'm fucking, you know... I'm like your offspring, man. I'm like your kids, man. Like I grew up listening to, and you know, it'd be criminal because all my boys, I remember us back in the day listening to your record. Big shout out to Porch mm-hmm. One. We would literally be like bumping your shit hard, and yeah, it's just the biggest fan, you know. It's awesome, like you say, that hip hop and the elements and everything. It's to a point of no return in some aspects, but you know what? It was destined to be that way. On the same subject, actually, of progression, New York at the moment, I don't know, you know, I don't know who's been eating their Wheaties this morning, but there is a lot, there's a lot of, like, whole cars up, moving.
I don't know how they're doing this. I've seen a lot of stuff lately, and it's happening. I don't know how it's happening. I've seen a lot more like cats doing little freight cars mm-hmm. and stuff like that passing through, but like, I don't know. I've seen some New York stuff, no different than I've seen cats in Germany doing whole cars. I'm like, I seen something. I don't know if this was New York. I seen some dudes get off the train, and while the train was waiting to go out again, the police security guards was all standing there. These dudes got out of the car and was wow, just going nuts. Like they did it so fast. It was like maybe like 10 of these dudes did the car, got back in, and just ran away. The cops couldn't do nothing because there was so many of them. But they were doing like whole like throw ups real quick. And I'm like, yo, this is crazy now.
This is some
because they got all these cameras everywhere, but these dudes all masked up. You ain't see nothing. Yeah. But for them to do that so fast, I'm like, look, you can't stop it, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter, and to see these dudes, I know they're young. Mm-hmm. So to see these cats doing this now, like on a scale like that, because they know they're being watched. It's more famous now. It's very viral. And then don't let them be dumb nice with it too at the same time, because they go up and I'm like, oh, they're going fast. Like, oh, they putting it up. So it's wild now, man. Like, you know. I don't know if people really understand like what that's like to do that. Like, cause I've heard Tame tell me stories of being in the yard, getting chased and dogs, and you just scared to death, heart rate going so fast, you can't concentrate on what you're doing, and it's dark. So to know cats that's like that and to have that rush, you know what I'm saying? Like, even if you're just throwing up a tag real quick, a lot of people need to know that feeling, cause is a feeling of like, you know, knowing that when you walk away, hey, a lot of people are going to see it. Mm-hmm. Or you go bypass it again, it's either going to still be there or bust. But that's like, to see them cats doing that and to know that it's people there doing that, that's brave.
Brave. You know, I think some of it is perhaps it's the kind of lab rat generation where kids have been so used to seeing a security camera. So,
yeah.
Immune to it, almost like, oh well, of course we're going to be on Instagram, because Instagram, let's remind ourselves, and Instagram came out when, like, 2008 or something, 2009.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That some kids out there are now 11 years old,
right? Yeah,
they've known Instagram forever,
and they know that that's the, you know, that's the tool to the street to be famous.
It's the only one that they probably know, you know,
that and grew up with it to a point where now they're active on it because they're older now to understand what that is for them.
Yeah.
What I like TikTok, about it. TikTok is even worse.
yeah. And this is why they like it, because TikTok is their version.
Yeah. Instant.
Yeah. It was already, Instagram was already there. That was just something of a given, but like TikTok is a new version of it. So that's, mm-hmm. I guess that's the deal. What elements I do like about what's going on is that the art isn't just in the final piece. The art is in the attack and the mm-hmm. the measurement and it's a dance, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, and it's a little bit. And it's a lot more artistic than in the past. When you talk about a lot of the graffiti artists today, mm-hmm. It's more detailed. It's not just about lettering. It's about portraits, and some just focus on that. Mm-hmm. And it's about more crews than ever. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, and it's really like so much to say, like it's hard to outdo each other. So a lot of these cats wind up working together because of the money that's involved. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of cats want to still paint, but a lot of cats know, you know, if I'm a paint, I want to get some bread for it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's because of this infatuation outside of the gallery with graffiti now, where it's like, you know, a lot of commercial spaces got a lot of, you know, buildings that they own that, you know, look fucked up. And they're like, yo, you know, I'll get these young dudes, you know, or this guy I heard of that, if you want to make my building dope, you know, I'd rather you put something up nice and I give you permission to do it so you can take your time.
Gentrify.
So I see a lot more people opening up in that way too, to let these cats, you know, get their shit off.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that too. Yeah. Ain't nothing beat though. I know what you're saying about the technical levels, but nothing quite beats a Zephyr tag or a quick or a scene.
Nope. Like, nope.
Scene. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Still going. Still going.
The levels are crazy. The levels have gone up, but then there's something really purist and just out there cool with some of the older stuff back in the day. I tell you what, actually, this would be a good explain to me in as much detail as you can that hip-hop era that you grew up in and what it was like in New Jersey. We always hear about what went in the Bronx and what went but what really happened in New Jersey? How did it feel? Give me the black and white kind of grainy version.
Well, for us in Jersey, New York treated us the same way they treated everybody else because we wasn't from New York, but we right next to them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, growing up in Jersey, coming up with hip hop, it was a New York thing. You know what I'm saying? Because we knew that's where it came from. That's where it was broadcasted from. That's where we watched videos from before they even came on to MTV. So you had Video Music Box coming out of New York. And, you know, we had early representatives in hip hop to look at, whether it's Latif, Lakim Shabazz. You know, like those were our first guys we knew when we saw on TV. Like, that's, you know, the guard. Those are our guards right there. Like I talk to like him every other day. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's nothing. And my man, he's still the same. He still look the same. You know, he's grown. You know, he still do music. You know, and he's like a brother to me. So, you know, with us, we were always on the outside looking in. But like, if you notice with us in New Jersey, we don't sound like nobody else. Like, we have so many different artists and we all don't sound the same. But, you know, that's what makes us good. You know, and that's what separates all of us. Because within all of our groups, whether it's Artifacts, whether it's Redman, whether it's Naughty, Lords, you could tell who everybody, we all listen to the same people, but you could tell as we grew up, we heard Redman could be with EPMD. You know what I'm saying? You can affiliate me and Tame with Brand Nubian.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it makes sense because we gravitated toward them as artists.
Hold tight to that X as well, by the way. I know.
No doubt. Pieces to right X, now, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so like us, we had a lot to prove. We couldn't go to New York. Like when me and Tame was coming up doing shows before we even dropped the album, we were doing a lot of Lyricist Lounge shows, a lot of shows in New York. Well, we could not say we was from Jersey when we first got up on stage.
But what would happen?
We would wait till after we was done. Because if we went on stage, if we went up on stage saying that, yo, Jersey, blah, 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 boo, 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 boo.
You get knocked down?
Boo first. You know what I mean? Like, so we would wait till after we was done with the show.
That's cold.
Because a lot of people, when they saw us on stage, I'm wearing polo, Tame had dreads, a lot of cats thought we was from Brooklyn. And then when the video came, when the video came out, and they saw New Jersey Transit buses. They saw Newark police cars. They're like, oh, they from Jersey, because we knew. Like,
you got to be nice first.
Yeah,
and
New
then
York,
they
New York
you.
Ain't just giving you no free card. You just come through and, you know, do what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew you had to get a pass. And our pass was going to Stretch and Bobbito, you know. And these things were things that people in New York didn't think that New Jersey artists were capable of. I'm talking about from graffiti standpoint, to b-boying, and this is what I will always explain, that you'll be right there. Mm-hmm. We can see y'all. You know what I'm saying? We see your whole everything. You know what I'm saying? We just not in it. But we always had to feel like we had to prove ourselves to New York. And over the years, through the music we've been putting out and the artists we've been, mm-hmm. we've been able to get that love and give the love back to cats in New York. Because cats in New York know, you can ask the best of the cats in New York, ask them what happened when they come to Jersey. Ask them what happened. They know. So we have our own upbringing that, you know, when you look at the artists, whether it was Latifah, you know, you look at Tresh, you look at Poor Righteous Teachers, you look at King Sun.
Wow.
I can go down a whole list of people
and
from Jersey.
And also different, like you say, also different.
Yes, and we all don't sound the same musically at or verbally at all.
Yeah. I can relate to you with the whole New York thing. I mean, thankfully, the beatbox was definitely on my side.
Super nice because I saw it live in my face. So I know how it was probably be for you. Like this dude coming over here like this, like oh
yeah.
Look, I'm a pro. Trust me.
Just don't speak English until you've done the beatbox. Don't Word. Speak. Girls, don't speak.
And don't say you're from Jersey before you start the song.
Yeah, exactly.
Just do your thing, and then when you finish, like, I'm going back to UK. I'm going back to Jersey. I'll talk to y'all later. Yeah. What? From where?
Yeah.
That's how it happened.
Totally. And then all of a sudden, like, similarly to myself, but obviously amplified by God knows what. I mean, I guess from your side, like, yeah, you suddenly got this huge payoff of attention on Jersey along with the, you know, like, aforementioned, but I think you guys, as somebody who ain't from America for starters, it's you're an observer. Now, I wasn't originally from London. I was even more of an observer, and I think when you're removed from the area and you're off radar and you're watching this thing happen, do you feel, particularly being so close, but being in New Jersey, did you feel like actually I appreciated this stuff a lot more growing up, listening to it and taking it all in more than somebody who'd be like living in the Bronx would?
I will hope to say that it would be the same effect because, like I said, at the time when you're listening to Marley Marl, you're listening to Red Alert, we're all hearing the same thing at the same time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like for all of the artists that come out of New York, for the outside to hear them and see them, it was the same way that I did. But because I'm right next to it, we had access to Video Music Box to where you had a video show before MTV came out. Even if he came on at night and he would change the time to the afternoon to it got to be finally to be after school. So after school, we would run home because we knew Video Music Box was coming on. So Wednesday, you had the new videos, Nervous Thursdays and Fridays would be just blackout, play everything new. So that was our outlet to see early LL Cool J videos, Run DMC, Houdini, all the old throwback videos. Mm-hmm. So I would think that out of state wise, yeah, we probably had an advantage because we were able to access the radio. Like I remember when I was young, I used to try to just go through the radio, just even go through the station to see if any hip hop would come on. Mm-hmm. But that's how I found the World Supreme Team show on 91.5.
Damn.
And because like Long Island, New York had radio shows, we would get those sometimes through the frequency. So it was a lot of stuff that we were able to find compared to somebody outside of New Jersey.
Was it in abundance? Would you literally dial in? Because the way you were explaining it right then, it was just a case of, right, defuzz, find it, stay locked. Was there a lot of stations that were playing hip-hop back then?
If you knew, so like after Marley Marl and them would go off at 11 and 12 o'clock at night, you could go down the dial to 105.9. And if you was close enough to New York and your radio was good, you can catch the DNA and Hank Love show after the Awesome 2 show. So, but only if you knew about these things, you would be listening because a lot of times, you know, through word of mouth, that's how you found out about the stations and making tapes through your friends. So, you know, that was what came to when you start sharing stuff like that. But when you would tell your man, like, yo, DNA Hank Love come up. But see, because you heard about it through somebody else, you wouldn't know that listening to Marley. Marley and them not going to tell you to go to listen to Awesome 2 or go to listen to DNA Hank Love, but because you was a fan of it and you was looking for it, you found it. So like how I found Supreme Team Show, it was in the afternoon. And I don't know why I did it. I was in my room. I had a little gym set in there. I just took a break. I was going down and I just, let me see something. And usually when you get to the lower numbers in the stations, they turn to be jazz stations.
Right.
So 89.9, Stretch and Barbito Show, that station used to be a jazz station. That's why sometimes the jazz station wouldn't even let them come on.
No
and
way.
And they would go off. When they would go off on their show, the jazz show would come on. So and then there was another to 89.1. So these were jazz stations. You might find a rock station. One day in the afternoon, I found some hip hop. I was like, whoa, what's this? But only reason why I knew about World Supreme Team Show because through Malcolm McLaren, watching those videos on a show called New York Hot Tracks. So only way, and you can't ask somebody outside of New Jersey and New York, Connecticut maybe, yeah, all that, but you can't go down there to the South and say, yo, you heard of New York Hot Tracks already? It's called New York Hot Tracks. They don't see these videos. So it's only for the tri-state area.
Boy,
so it was a lot of some people ground, missing
bro.
That wasn't from here. That we saw because we was closer to New York.
You literally had your ear to the ground.
Exactly. And you had to find it. There was no, you know, and to now know all of these dudes, and Awesome Too is my brothers. I love them. You know, to be fans of them and going up to these stations and to be friends with them later on, you know, that's a testament to a true listener of them for years that, you know, that you still know them today. And I was just bugging out yesterday listening to Red Alert on the radio. I said to myself, like, damn,
that's my
guy. I grew up listening to Red Alert on the radio, and he's still on the radio.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Oh, it's beautiful. I might just add, it's testament to your authenticity that these iconic characters in hip hop revere you and call you a friend. That only suggests that from ear to the ground to breakdancing to emceeing, you were on the right track.
And I'm a student. I'm a student of the game.
Student. It's so important to say, yes, that's a real important point. Because you never stop learning, do you?
Mm-mm. Especially not this. And being active in it still, I've learned to be patient and learn to let the things come as they may. And work with them in the best of my ability and make it work. And maybe back then I didn't have that same mentality because it was just, you know, we're making music, we trying to be nice, making the music. Let's go on tour, let's do it. You ain't thinking about all the other things that come into play of being an artist because you were just doing it.
Yeah.
And later on you gravitate toward the whole package and, you know, and I'm grateful to be even doing this interview. Still, I'm grateful to still hit the stage. Me and Tame, new album coming out soon.
Ooh, hold on, What did you just say? hold on. You can't just go bypassing that. Really?
Yeah. New Artifacts album coming out this year.
Have you just seen my arms shoot up with goosebumps? Man, what the hell's going on?
Hold up. Yeah, produced entirely by Buck Wild DITC.
What?
Yeah, 10 joints. We got a couple of guests on there. I can tell you now it's gonna be my man Afro is on the joint, and we got Razzcast on the joint.
My boy Razzcast.
Yes, that's what we have room for on the record. The whole record though is me and Tame. A lot of scratching, a lot of bass, a lot of dark DITC-ness, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be something that people will want to hear right now. And we was happy to work with Buck on this. You know, y'all could expect more music with Buck, but this record right here, 10 joints in the chamber, ready to go.
Bringing it back.
Exactly. And you said it right from the beginning. We bringing it back with a producer that made one of our biggest hits, and we got 10 more in the pocket, ready to go.
Man. The current climate of emceeing, definitely this feels like all of a sudden it's like, of course, there has to be another Artifacts album.
Yeah, man, we ain't made one in over 25 years, man. So it's like, you know, we was about due. me and Tame did a lot of solo records and stuff like that. We've been back together since 2008. We've been back on the road on tour since 2012. And, you know, it was a proper time to do this. You know, we got the label Smoke On Records out in Germany. Damn. And, you know, it's soon to be pressed, done, finished, hopefully, because with all this COVID and everything, all the dates got pushed back. So, you know, I would say hopefully by June that the record will be pressed and ready to go.
That is so sick. That is that's made my evening, man. Well, your afternoon. That's cold. Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, where to go from here? To think about, like, where... Oh, man. Like, again, it just heightens the fact that the longevity of sincerity and authenticity and just playing by... Like you say, you're always a student. And when you're in the album process or when you're on tour or when you're having to deal with XYZ bullshit or when you're, you know, jet lagged and you do forget the fundamentals and what brought you in the thing in the first place,
right?
And what it is you're there. It's actually the mission brief is bigger than you and the project. It's hip hop. That's the mission brief.
And that was the reason why we had to make this album, because for all of the people that sat back and watch me and Tame do solo careers, they always wonder, like, y'all gonna do another album? You gonna do another album? Oh, y'all gonna do another? Yes. We always said yes. We never said no. We just never knew what the situation was gonna be called for us to do it. But this was the perfect time. The COVID, you know, I would say didn't stop us from working. Mm. You know, it just made us work more. You know, I pretty much said, like, you know, this is like, let's get this thing done. Because we're not going outside no time soon, but let's actually put it together in a way where, you know, let's not rush it, because we don't know when we're going to be able to go back out to do certain shows. But it is certain things we can do. So I said, like, let's just still record, you know, and let's act like this, nothing's wrong. Because in the recording process, COVID don't have nothing to do with that.
Yeah, you don't want to date it, do you?
Nope, that's us still having to create. So with knowing that, we just was always, you know, on the level of like, yo, let's give these people what they want. You know, we ain't doing nothing too crazy where we like going away from where Artifacts came from or from our last album. It's now, this is a whole another addition to the crate with one producer on the whole project that we worked with doing like a few songs with, wound up doing 10. Yeah. So now we just gonna see how, you know, people feel about hearing their childhood come back to life in a way of where, you know, somebody, people you familiar, names you familiar with, but never had an idea what it would sound like if Artifacts did a whole project with Buck Wild. Now you get to see it.
That's crazy. Buck Wild's one of my favorites. Show from Show and AG as well. I mean, they're from the same camp, aren't they? But they're the realest.
And even they all have levels of how they sound different, but they still,
for sure.
But I think what makes that whole crew be DITC is the grit and the grimy and the dirtiness of, and how clean it was still.
Clean.
And it was so dramatic. DITC, if I could say one word to express their sound, is really dramatic.
Yes.
Really dramatic. When you listen to Show and AG records, I could like, even their newer records, it got a record called Show and A. And when A is rocking on that, it's like, you know, he's compatible to Show. Like, it's almost like when you look at Show and the pictures for him, he's like my little dude right here, he get in your ass.
Yeah, he can fuck you. What's it say? He's on his own dick, and even when he's lying on his stomach.
Like, yo, look, my man got beats. I will bust your ass on these shits. Like, don't take my hype for a weakness. I will bust your ass with these big ass words.
Bro, and realist of the realist, for real.
That's how he knew, hey. How he met AG, he's like, yo, who this dude named AG? He sounded like a big dude. When he met him, he was like, oh, shit, like, all right, bet, let's go. My man talking hot shit, and he looked like that. And even when I met him, I told him, I said, dude, like, just and A is a battle dude. Like, that's one thing people got to understand about AG. AG is a battle dude. Like, his records don't reflect his what's the
stature.
Word I want to say?
Yeah.
It doesn't reflect his
stature.
Battle scars. It doesn't reflect his mode. I've seen him go into a mode, especially when him and Party Artie, when Artie was alive, them dudes was like two animals on the court.
Really?
And just eating everybody up on the battle scene. You know what I'm saying? Like, and when I saw A like that, to me, it was like he reinvented himself from a dude that made records to a dude that can make records and battle. And even now, to just sit back and make records and be an entrepreneur at the same time. That's just, you know, when I think of Buck and I think about how we got into the, you know, I even asked, hey, like, yo, how me and Tam get in DITC? We made records with all the producers in DITC. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do we do that? He started laughing. I don't know. You got to talk to the show about that.
Yeah. I mean, like you say, there is a real refinement to DITC's production. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And yeah, you've worked with
only one Diamond. We did some work with Diamond, but it didn't come out officially. But yeah, that's next. Like, I'm not gonna say that ain't gonna happen, because
okay,
I think that'll probably happen with me and Sadat probably before it happened with me and Tank.
Right. Well, see, I mean, more ears to the ground for the rest of us. Yeah. Do you think there's something about, I mean, when you talk about AG, yourselves, you know, God, like the 90s fraternity. Do you feel like, because you say, you know, AG, yourselves, you know, you're entrepreneurs, you're people that have gone on to do amazing things, but still do music and have, and cross over relationships with, like you say, Sadat X, you guys doing the album together, then going back to Tame again, and then Buck Wild, and then, you know, Diamond. Like, there's so many, like, it goes forever, and it just feels like it's like a fine wine. You guys have just been cutting your teeth, and like, you're so robust, you know what I mean? It's like, you can kind of mold to any situation because you've just like had those 10,000 hours.
Right. And that's a good way to look at it, because like you said, it's funny you said that. I said that to my man. I was like, you know, the things that we do, like, there's no way to go backwards. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially when, you know, a lot of times we get asked, like, how do you stay relevant? It's really yourself. And how do you react to the beats you may get, to what you want to say, what you're doing at the moment that makes you still sound like, or makes me sound like Elder Sensei, it makes Sadat sound like Sadat, and Tame sound like Tame. Beat-wise, Buck sound like Buck Wild, but today Buck Wild, not 90s Buck Wild. Mm-hmm. So these things, we're conscious of, and we're making these records today, and we understand that through our track record, is going to be a lot of people that's going to expect us to probably come, not say the same way, but in the same vein, to not be so far away. So if anything, they would think that, yo, if they sounded like that back then, I can imagine what it would be like today, because we are in 2021. So we would have to think about that as well as artists, writing what we have to write, and as far as, you know, who we're directing our music towards. And that's going to be people like yourself and like me, who pay attention to all the things that we're going to be doing. It's going to be people sitting there analyzing everything. So we know. Because we do it when we get the records from the artists that we wait for to put out records. So we damn sure know, you know, it's going to be people that's not just the average listener. It's going to be people that are our peers as far as MCs that's going to judge it too, because they're going to know they fans of our music just like we fans of theirs. So we are, trust me, y'all, we know what y'all. And y'all ain't, when every song come on, all y'all got to say is like, oh, I bet y'all better have done that. So
yeah.
we on point with it. So ain't nothing, all bases are covered.
Again, like, I suppose there's certain aspects of what you just said there. You can have tough skin, but you know, like a hip hop audience, they don't play. They tell it like it is.
Yeah, man. It's like, you know, and then especially today, because motherfuckers can say what they want. They home with this shit in their hand and on their fingertips. But like, yo, I'm home. I can say what the hell I want to say. I think that's the one thing in the internet that made it so like this, because you could say what the hell you want. Ain't nobody going to do nothing to you. And it's just like, I'm blacking out on you. And where in the past, that probably wouldn't happen because you had to be outside. You ain't going to walk up to a dude and be like, hey, yo, I think you whack, son. You shouldn't make records no more. But that today you can do and not be in somebody's face. And they get their point across. And that's like a million, thousand million to other people too.
To be fair, I got more respect. I got amples of respect that for somebody to come up to Elder Sensei's face and be like, yo, guy, I don't like your shit. I would have
That's why all artists, we came up with that term, internet key thug and all that shit like that. Cause honestly, and that's a lot of people, you would not say half of the shit that you're saying online to a person's face, even if they wasn't a star. Yeah, just a regular person. Like, that's almost like the closest thing you can get to that can road rage.
For real. Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? That's the only time you can really get out of the car and pop shit to somebody like, yo, you almost ran me over. We're fighting. And you can really, and you got that whole energy, so it's going to happen. But
they need to do like a catfish. Thing, no. Catfish for like people that are trolling. There needs to be some sort of catfish program, you know?
And that's the only, and that's the one thing I don't like, because I had some dude hit me up two weeks ago talking about, oh, Elder Sensei said the Artifacts album was coming out in the spring. It's already March. I'm like, really, bro? Ugh. And I commented him back like, yo, okay, so look, the record is still coming out. Yeah. I can't control delivery and manufacturing and things of the sort. So a lot of my friends see me talk like that. I don't really try to comment on people, but when I saw that, and then he had no page, no face, no picture, no nothing. Mm-hmm. Then he came back to my man, comment and say, yeah, don't worry, the record ain't coming out till 2000, never.
honestly.
I had to block dude, but I thought it was funny, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't get too much traffic like that. So when I see it, I was just like, whoa, who's this? Oh, that's funny. I said, but like, you know, it's coming, y'all.
Yeah.
Like,
hell,
you know,
yeah.
I get it. You want internet keys. I get it.
Bro. I mean, it's when I click and I'm like, I've just sent something. And then literally 30 seconds afterwards, I'm thinking, I shouldn't have done that. Why did I bother replying? Here we go. Here we go. Here's at least 40% of my attention for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm. Comments all day. Like, dang.
Damn. Right. Question. As we're in the studio arena here talking about the album, give me, please, would you give me your most hip hop moment that you can remember ever in the studio?
Man, I got a few.
I'm all ears.
All right. I'm gonna give you two right now off the top of my head.
Wicked.
We was in the studio recording for the second album, and we had a song called This Is The Way, produced by V.I.C. Chaos was actually doing the cuts for the record this day in the lab. We was in Soundtrack Studios in Manhattan. The scratch he was doing was from Run. And when he say, and this is the way we rock the house. Cool, okay. He's doing it. First pass, I like, nah, Chaos, do it again. I think you can do it better. So he kept doing it, and maybe like 10 minutes later, the door opens up, and he's cutting, doing his, you know, going through it. And then the door opened in. We on this side of the room, the door opened in this way, so we couldn't see who was behind the door. We just like, yo, who's that? Yo, his head peeked through the door. We was like, oh, shit, why was it Run?
We was like, hold up.
So Chaos just froze. We all froze. Me and the team, like, he's like, yo, y'all mind if I come up in the room? Because I heard y'all scratching my voice and everything like that. We was like, fuck, keep in this damn room and sit right there. He said, y'all mind if I watch? Like, do we mind? Like, sit down. Chaos, go, do your thing. So Chaos starts, the cut versions that's on the song was when Run was in the room watching Chaos do it.
Not fair.
Word. So it's like, he really, you know, and the way he stopped the record and everything, Rah howls. As soon as he did that, he looked at Run looked at us, he stood up, he said, I'm good, man. Whoop. He said, I'm good, bro. See, look at that. That was the power of the story. He said, I'm good. He said, look, man. He said, yo, I don't know when this coming out.
Wow.
He said, I just want to say thank you. He said, I'm highly impressed that your man over there. He said, but I had to come in the room because the way he was cutting, that shit, you know, I was in the hallway like, who in there? But I'm like, yo, but for you to pop in, that was like magic.
Yeah. So you were there. That's mad.
That was just crazy. That was a crazy moment. And when we was when we recorded Collaboration of Mics for the second album,
right?
That day was nuts because, you know, we did the song, me, Tame, Lord Finesse, and Lord Jamar. But the day of the session, who shows up in the studio? Showbiz, Fat Joe, Fat Joe's DJ. That was hilarious. He came in the room and went straight to chaos because he saw him at the turntable. He's like, yo, I'm going to be doing the cuts on the song today. He was a big dude. So we... he was a big dude. So we didn't even know like what to say because Fat Joe was like, word is born. Fat Joe came in the room and was like, yo, my man's doing the cuts. He was like, that's when he went to chaos. And I was like, yo, let my man, let chaos do the beginning cuts. Like at the beginning of the song, you cool with that? It's our song. And we was like, okay. They just came in with a whole idea. But like the whole energy in the room was crazy. So it was like, you know, all of us is in the room. We taking pictures, you know, and I just, you know, that you could tell in the way we were spitting in the song, like everybody was impressing each other, but the whole session was nuts. And I remember after the song was over, Fat Joe came to me and Tame, and he really said the song was dope. And to fast forward, we saw Fat Joe in Central Park a couple of years ago, the Stretch and Bobbito movie presentation in Central Park. He came up to me and said, oh, what's good? And I was like, damn, you remember my name. He said, why not? He said, y'all artifacts. I'm like, shh. Yeah. So you never know, you know what I'm saying? People going to remember you as an artist like that. But, you know, I remember that day, him coming in the studio and saying that. And look, when my man started cutting, I had no problem with that shit. Because we was like, oh, my man is super nice with it. Like, do your thing, homie. Like, don't, I ain't even going to bother you. And the shit came out. And after he was done, he was even like, yo, thank you for letting me, you know, do that. Because he said, yo, I'm a fan too. We like, damn. Like, so... The Bronx came in the building, and that was a Bronx, New Jersey song. Even for, you know, Jamar might have lived in Brooklyn, but he's from uptown too. So that was dope.
That is one hell of a double whammy story, boy.
And we had to be like on point. Like I said, us coming from Jersey, we had to impress a lot of people to get to that point.
I think Fat Joe sees the B-boyisms in you guys. Like, you know, he's
I think that. You know, and I got a Fat Joe, probably won't even remember this. Me and Tame was in New Rochelle, and Brand Nubian had a show. And it was like an afternoon. It was the early show. And we was in the club early doing a sound check with them. And me and Tame was sitting down talking to Vance Wright, Slick Rick DJ. We was like, damn, like this is be.
When we, you know, just a normal sound check.
Just all sitting there talking to Vance, right? So, Fat Joe came and sat at the table, and he looked at me and Tame. I heard about y'all. Jamar and Sadat been talking about y'all a lot. I want to battle you. I was like, what? And I've probably never even said that before. I'm not sure, but like Vance Wright was at the table, like, come on, Joey, you know, lead him alone. We're having a conversation. So he's like, nah, yo, I heard about these dudes. Like, yeah, y'all must be nice if Jamar and Sadat talking about y'all. We was like, damn. So we had no idea Jamar and Sadat were talking about us. And here we are in the corner sitting in the room with Vance Wright, and Fat Joe won the battle. That was, again, another moment we was like, damn, that's we must be on our way.
Yeah, yeah, you're on the right track.
Yes.
That's crazy. That's like best describe a trail of destruction from the moment that you guys were clocked. It's almost like synergy went click, 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 click.
Yeah, and Jamar said it.
Can you bottle that?
Him, Jamar said that was his first hip-hop moment as far as like a fan experience, me and Tame.
For real?
And then you know, he asked me about that one day. He said, remember this picture right here? It was a picture of them at the State Building in Manhattan in Harlem doing the show. I was like, yeah, that's the day we met y'all. He said, who the fuck thought y'all would be artifacts today? I said, I know, right? It's crazy.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you think, I was about to say, can you bottle that? But actually, I want to be more specific. You know when you, and speaking personally as well, you know when you have those moments, it's almost like a weird zeitgeist where what starts off as a weird imposter syndrome all of a sudden becomes your reality, and you're in this ride, and things like that happen where you're just like, that's nuts.
Right, yeah. I mean, like, dude, like, for that, like, for Fat Joe, we know this guy, the music and everything. For him to recognize us just from a conversation and to see us, that meant, like I said, like, something's about to happen for us. You know, no different than Tame calling Stretch and Bobbito for, you know, that's how we got on the radio. He made a phone call on the air. He won the contest that week, that night. And even if I called the next week and did mine, it was off the strength of what Tame had did. And that's how we got the invitation to come up to Stretch and Bob to do our freestyle that we did. That got us the deal.
Wow.
How did we know that was going to happen? That was just by miracle chance. You know what I'm saying? But it also had something to do with Tame's skill that night and us together at the show to show people what we was made of. You never think stuff like that going to happen. You know, people always think that we got a story where, you know, we sent out a bunch of demos and people, you know, we got these stories of rejection. Nope. You know, we did one 10-minute freestyle session that turned into me talking to you now.
How much pride does that give you, bro, to know that you had, I mean, I'm proud of you guys, just to know how far you took it. You know what I mean? Like, you guys went, and this is, again, it highlights the fan support you have is, like, super hardcore. Like, I think it's tales like this that show your salt as an artist, right?
And I think it shows people that, you know, we just like them. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just happen to rhyme. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people that meet us, when they do, they be like, wow, like, y'all just like me. I'm like, yo, look, we just happen to make records. But we just like a lot of people in this world. We just got a deal. We made the most of it. And even after we got off, we kept going. There's a lot of people that was responsible for helping us get to a lot of places that we've been to. But I always tell Tame, it start with us first.
That's
and
right.
And if we don't do what we do, there is no Artifacts. There is no Wrong Side of the Tracks. There is no Come Over to Get Down, Dynamite Soul, Art of Facts, Interview, nothing of the sort.
And I might add, everybody go and check out their music if you have not heard any of those tunes. I mean, I know hip-hop can be often as much of a deep dive as reggae is and all the other cultures in the world that has a catalogue. But trust me, if you know what your time's best spent on, it's getting into some Artifacts for sure.
Thank you about that. Thank you.
For real. And also, you know, the future's looking fucking bright. You know, you've got the album now that's in the pipes and... Mm-hmm. That it's just going to reignite amazing conversations like this and stories of people want that. They want to feel in touch with a time and know that authenticity's there.
And the artists that they remember that brought them some sort of hip hop joy is still around. Mm-hmm. You know, I got like 5 projects I'm about to come with besides this Artifacts record, a couple of solo records coming. I got a record with a partner of mine that I work with who I felt as though, like, you know, I didn't want to just put him out there to the sharks and wolves. Mm-hmm. I did a record with him together and it's 14 joints we got that's going to come soon. His name is Big Joker, Jersey representative, and somebody I feel like a lot of cats I know deserve a chance to put out a record. So why not do one with him? Make sure he's all right.
It's only March. What are you doing to me? You just like throwing out albums and projects. It's like, yeah.
Oh man, I've been busy these last few years. You know, I'm hopefully next year it'll just be just, you know, me touring, you know, rather than just recording a lot of music. You know, I've like I said, 5 albums ready to go. All of them getting mixed right now. I'm about to get into the process of photo shoots with a lot of these producers and artists that I've been working with. So, you know. Hopefully, you know, when people get all this music, they're going to like it. But at the same time, you know what I was doing while this COVID shit was going on. We wasn't doing no shows.
That's right. Exactly. Well, when the locks are unlocked and we have to buck. When you get to UK,
I'm going to be here. I'm going to send you everything. You can get all the emails. Matter of fact, I'll send you an email tonight of the single for the new Artifacts record. So you have it.
Wicked. Nice. Wicked.
Yeah,
my brother, thank you so much, El. It's been wicked. No, man.
Yo, Keller, thank you, brother. You always good to me. Yeah. And it was my pleasure to do this.
Honestly, brother, the people are going to be so happy. Trust
me. No doubt.
Comments galore, people. You know what to do.
Thanks
again. The mighty Elder Sensei inside the place. Killer Keller Podcast doing it proper.
Peace, yo.
You stay lucky, El. Take care of yourselves, people. Until next time.
You too. I'll see you soon.
Peace.